right? We'll start at the top of Amud Chedman Aleph with the Mishnah. Mafkid Perot Etzel Chavero. So if a person leaves to, with a Shomer, his Perot, Afilu Hein Avudin, even if they're going to waste, meaning that they're rotting, they're going bad, and then Lo Yigabahem. Don't touch them, because that's not why he gave you the Perot to deal with. He wants you to watch them, whatever their status, whatever the condition is, that you have to watch them. Shimon Gamliel Omer Mochrin Bifnei Beit Din. Oh, he goes to Beit Din and he sells the fruits. Why? Bifnei Shuk Meshiva Veida LeBalim, because it's the equivalent of Meshiva Veida. I mean, if he leaves the fruits in the status that they're in right now, then the Balim are going to get back something that is significantly below the value of what they were mafkid with him. So in order to preserve the value, the best thing to do is to sell the object. He sells the object, but he wants to do it in a clear and fair manner. The only way to do that in a clear and fair manner is to go to Beis Din and have them sell it in a public auction or in a proper manner. So that's the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Mar says, my time. What's the reason that the Tanakhama believes here that you stand back, that you don't touch the fruits that are here? So Amar of Kahano, so the first possibility is Adam Rotze Bekav Shalom. Person wants more a kav of his own than 9 kabim of someone else. That's because, meaning the kav that he worked on. I mean, we're not talking about generic fruit. We're talking about fruits, vegetables, or items, produce that he planted, made, created, right, through his work. And because of that, he much prefers, right, a kav of his own than 9 kabim of store-bought fruits and vegetables. So despite the fact that there's actually a loss here, I mean that there's a monetary loss, there's a, on a quantitative basis, it doesn't make sense to leave the fruits. But from a qualitative or from a sentimental sense, there's a feeling that the person would much rather have their own fruits, and therefore we allow the monetary loss to take place.
The guy really thinks that if somebody came along and offered a person 9 cabin of produce for 1 cabin of his own, most people would say no.
Alright, so that's the question of how literally you take Rav Kahana is, I mean, this is the expression, right? This is the expression. The question is, is the ratio really 1 to 9? Alright, so that the Gemara is going to challenge later on. The Gemara is going to say it doesn't have to be. The 1 to 9 doesn't necessarily have to be the ratio. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Hacheshinan, Shema Asan Amafkid, Shuma Masera Makom Acher. The other issue that we have is that the possibility that the owners actually made these fruits into Truman Maaser. They have fruits and vegetables in another place. They have to be Mafrish Trumot and Maasrot. And in being Mafrish Trumot and Maasrot, they use these fruits that are Nifgad with this individual. So now the problem is, if this individual goes and sells the fruits, right, then you don't know that they're really Truman Maaser, and then you're going to end up selling them to people who don't have any idea. If it's Truman, it's not a Kohen, right? Or people are not aware of the fact that they are Truma Maaser. Now, the obvious issue here is that Tosus raises it, we have in other places, which is that the person who's separating out here, Truma Maaser, is Shalom Mukaf. Which is that there's a din in general about being Mafrish, Trumot Maaserot, that they should be done with Mukaf, which is present. The object, I mean that which you're trying to be mafrish from, plus what you are being mafrish, right, are supposed to be together, present, in front of you. And here, this individual is being mafrish trumot masrot from somewhere else. They're nowhere near the perot of the nifkad, or the mafkids holding onto the perot. They're nowhere near these perot that are being held by the nifkad. Instead, they're being mafrish trumot masrot. So Tosis comes up to the scenarios in which it's permitted to separate it out, Shumot Masrot, Shalomina Mukaf, for instance, on Erev Shabbos, right, coming into Shabbos, where he's under pressure, and he can't do it, so there's a dispensation to do it, Shalomina Mukaf, right, or there's the other possibility, he says, where he's under, for whatever reason, he couldn't be Mafrishtim, and then he says, Nechel Lechaver, Tlavit Yisur Zuto, Dahanu Shalomina Mukaf, that he would rather do a small Yisur, Shalomina Mukaf, in order to prevent the fact that he'll have fruits and vegetables, tevel, that's lying around. So these are two possibilities that Tosus raises about why someone would be mafrish chumot to masrot from these fruits that are nifgad, nowhere near the rest of their produce. All right, now, meitave, amafki perot etzel chavero, harize lo yigaben, lefikach, balabayit oseotan chuma masera makom acher. So now the Braisa is basically our Mishnah, which says that if you have a person gives you fruits and vegetables, don't touch them. But then it adds an additional statement at the end of the Braisa, which is, therefore, because we know that you as the, right, the person watching, the Shomer, is not going to touch them, the Baalim are permitted to make them into Truma Masir, because they can assume that the fruit and vegetables are still there. They can assume that the produce is still there. So, Bishlamo, the Rav Kahana, Hanutana Lichvichach. According to Rav Kahana, that makes sense. What's the reason that the Shomer is not allowed to sell, right, the objects? Is because, Rotze Adam, Mekav Shlomi, Tishikab Baim Shel Chaveiro. Then, okay, once we have that factor, and that's determined, then we say that the owner, the balabait of those roots, can make them into Truma Maser, because we know they're not going to be stolen. But, Elo, the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, right, my Lefikach. How can you say Lefikach? I mean, it's circular in reasoning. I mean, the reason that you're not allowed to sell them is because he's making them into Truma Maser. And the reason you can make them into Truma Maser is because, right, he's not selling them. So, that's the chicken and the egg here. So, where it says, Ach Kamar, that's exactly right. That's the price. Hashta damur Rabbanan lo nizavin. Right now that the Rabbanan established, don't sell them. Dechashinan, what are we worried about? Right, because we're worried about the fact that he might have made them into Truma Maser. So, once the Rabbanan established the fact that you may not sell them because he might have made them into Truma Maser, therefore, the Fikach, Valabaitu Selatan Truma Maser, Makom Acher. Exactly. I mean, it is circular, but we know which came first here. Right? I mean, in the chicken and the egg, we know the story here is that it's clear that the first chashash was that the original owners made them into Truman Maser. That was a chashash. Once that happened, the Rabbanan say, don't sell and don't get rid of these fruits and vegetables when you're a shomer. If that's the case now, then any person looking at these fruits and vegetables as an owner, a produce as an owner, can say, I'm a frish Truman Maser from them. All right. Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Rechanan Rabbi Yochanan introduces a third possibility here of how to explain the Braisa. He says, Machloket b'kdei chesronan. That the machlokets in our Mishnah is simply when they are deteriorating at the common pace for the produce. I mean, Rashi says, k'derech shar tevuot, like other fruits and vegetables, that they're deteriorating at that pace. So they're having the regular pace of rotting, regular pace of deterioration, then that's the machlokas in our Mishnah. Aval yoter mikdei chesronan, but everybody agrees if they are deteriorating at a faster pace, everybody agrees you sell them out in Beit Din, because there it's clear that the loss, right, is exceeding the expectations of the individual placed them. If they're exceeding the loss, the expectations of the individual placed them there, then we say sell them out. On the other hand, if they are rotting at a regular pace or a normal rate, we say that there are other considerations here, and those other considerations might mitigate the fact that they are deteriorating over time. Now, the problem, a little bit with Rashi, is that if you say that their machlokas is b'gdei chesronan, right, that means only when they are rotting at a pace rate, that's when the machlokas is, that means, Tosfos points out, that you'll have actually three categories. Three categories are normal pace, faster than normal pace, and slower than normal pace. So now, what would you think halach would be when it is slower than normal pace? If it's slower than normal pace, you'd have to admit that everybody would agree, don't sell it. Right? Because the only reason that you're allowed to sell it is because, right, is the spoilage issue, is that it's moving at that pace. So everybody agrees, if it's less than the normal rate, don't sell it. If it's higher than the normal rate, then do sell it. Their machlokas is in b'gdei chesronan, based on what Rashi is saying. So it says that means their machlokas is on a very, very narrow point, which is k'dei chesronan. Says it's on that little piece, on that little bit, doesn't make sense that the whole machlokas is revolving around that. So Tosfos explains that b'kdei chesronan is rather that the Gemara, we're not going to see it later on, that there is a normal rate of deterioration. Right? That's the Gemara is going to give, the Mishnah is going to give, what is the normal rate that fruits or vegetables deteriorate? And then it's this and this much per year, this and this much percentage-wise per year. So Tosfos says what it means, yoter k'dei chesronan, means that over a period, say for instance, over a year, it's normal to lose 5, 7, 10%, well, 10% of the produce. So Tosfos says, what does it mean, yoter mikdei chesronan? It means that when you've exceeded the 10% rate, not that they are, for instance, if you over a year would lose 10%, then even the first 3 months you lost 8%, you're not allowed to touch them yet. It's only once you've hit that 10% rate, right, before the time period that it's supposed to take, before a year, that'll be yoter mikdei chesronan. The Tosfos widens the area of the machlokas I would say that there's more room in which they argue rather than just a narrow point of Kedei Chesronan, because he explains Kedei Chesronan to mean the amount that would be normally lost in a year until you exceed that rate, right? I mean, to exceed that physical amount, that 10% amount, then you don't touch them.
Tosa says that even if it's clearly routing at a faster rate than usual, until it actually hits that...
Exactly, that threshold, right? You don't touch them, correct. So now, Adar Rav Nachman B'Yitzchak Vaday Pliga. It's clear that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav Nachman B'Yitzchak, right? Because if you say that the problem is that maybe they'll take off Trumot to Masrot, right? The rate of deterioration shouldn't matter. Adar Rav Kahana Milei B'Pliga. Who says, but when it comes to Rav Kahana, maybe that's not true. Ki Kamar Rav Ana B'Kdei Chesronan Kamar. That's what Shaul you were asking before. When Rav Kahana makes the statement of Rotzei Adam Bekav Shlo Yoter Miktisha Kabin Shel Chaviro, that's only when it's rotting either at a paced rate, meaning that it's at a normal rate. The loss differential is not significant enough for him to want to trade it in. Then, right? Va Rotzei Bekav Shlo Miktisha Kabin Shel Chaviro Kamar. But didn't he say literally 1 to 9? 1 to 9 is an excessive deterioration, right? A big rate of deterioration. So it seems like he would disagree even when it's Yoter Mikdei Chesronan. Gemara says, Guzma Balma. Right? That is an exaggeration. That rate of, or that exchange of 1 to 9 is an exaggeration. So again, to show your question before, does the guy really want 1 to 9? The answer is no. 1 to 9 is the expression. But the expression is yes, that a person on a normal deteriorating rate, or if, for small loss, is willing to take a small loss in order to preserve or keep his own produce. On the other hand, if it's an excessive rate of deterioration, he's also, I mean, he's aware of the fact that he doesn't want to lose, right, money, so much money. In the end, it won't be worth it. So that the quantitative loss will exceed the qualitative value to him of keeping his, right, his produce, and therefore he would sell it out, or he'd want you to sell it out in that instance. Right, so now, what about our the Bryce that we brought down, which takes our mission, says that the reason is, right, that once you've taken off for Trumas of Maisu, is there for Baal Baita, so ten Trumas of Makuchim, Belichosh, Dilma Avalu, Yoter Mikdei Chesronan. Let us suspect, right, or be suspicious of the possibility that they deteriorated at a faster rate, Vizavnino, right, and therefore it had already been sold, right, Vekach, Chotvalim, right, so that you are now eating Tevel. I mean, based on Rabbi Yochanan says, if they are in excessive rate of deterioration, everybody agrees that you're selling out the fruits and vegetables. That means that how could someone ever be mafrish truma to masrot with this produce? Maybe because the produce may not be there. He doesn't know the rate of deterioration of the produce. He's not near the produce now. So there was a distinct possibility that it was sold out from under him. So now, Mar says, well, this is the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Yoter b'kdei chesronan lo shkiach. That's an uncommon case, or an uncommon, right, situation in which the produce would deteriorate at a faster than normal pace. Right, so and if it happens, my, right, what's the din? Right, so then we sell them out. So says, right, let's worry about the fact that the balabait might have made them into truma to masur somewhere else. Because fine, for future, future results in terms of faster than pace deterioration, we assume. All right, and that's an unusual case. It won't happen so often. So if you have to sell it, fine. But what happens already, if in the beginning, when he first put them there, it's good. The deterioration rate's not going to be significant, right? Whether it's faster or slower, it's not going to be obvious right up front. What happens if he's already mafresh truzmo to masro? So forget about future, but how about the past? What happens if he was already mafresh truzmo to masro for them, and now you're selling them out? So what's it? You're selling truzmo to masro, you know, as regular chulin. It says, when we sell them out, we sell them out to Kohanim with as the value of Shuma. Shuma obviously has lower value than Chulin because that's be eaten by Tara, it can only be eaten by Kohanim. There's a limited number of consumers. So therefore, you sell them to a Kohen, right, as Shuma. Now that will change the dynamic of when you want to sell it, meaning that the loss or the deterioration value, right, because you're going to realize less of a profit or less money on the produce, then you have to take that into consideration with the deterioration rate, meaning that you would have to assume a higher deterioration rate in order to make it worthwhile to sell it at that lower price. All right, now, Udu Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Nami, Nizavninu l'kohanim b'tvei Truma. Now, according to Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the whole chashir that he made it, maybe he made it into Trumot Masrot, right, the Makom Acher. So if that's the case, why don't we give the same solution that Rabbi Yochanan's using over here? Sell it out to Kohanim? Why is Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak worried about it? Just sell it to Kohanim, and then we don't have a problem. It says, "Bahapilige." This is their machlokas. The Rabbah Barbar Chana Savar Yoter B'gnei Cheshronan Lo Shchiach. Right, so midah. It's something that just doesn't happen commonly. V'chi mishtakach by the kameid who davya yeter mikdei cheshronan. So now, if when it actually happens, right, at that point in time, once it really does happen, then it's in front of us, or we know the deterioration, right, takes time to happen. And that it's not going to happen immediately. Since it's so rare, since it's something that's not common, it's not going to be immediate that we're going to have that deterioration. So therefore, you're going to have a point in time where you have Trumot and Masrot that maybe the Ba'aluyim took already off Trumot to Masrot. Therefore, we compel you to sell it out to a Kohen. Right? And therefore, we assume that if the Ba'aluyim took off Trumot to Masrot, it was before the deterioration rate became excessive. Therefore, we tell you or suggest to you to sell it out to Kohanim, because there's a high likelihood that the Balim took off Trumot to Masrot, or there's at least a reasonable suspicion that they took off Trumot to Masrot here. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Sever, Yoter Mikdei Chesronan Mishkach Shkiach. It's common for fruits or produce to deteriorate at a excessive rate or higher than normal pace. And when it happens immediately. I mean, it's almost immediate when it happens. And if we allow you to sell it right up front, then what's going to happen? You're going to sell it before the Balabait even knows about it. And he's going to want to be mafreish trumot to masrot. Right, that he won't know it. He's going to end up eating tevel. So the machloket, or the reason, this solution of selling it to the Kohanim is really only available according to Rabbi Barchanan's position, but not according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's position. Why? Because Rabbi Barchanan believes that this excessive deterioration is uncommon. Since it's uncommon, it will take time to happen. And therefore, we can make an assumption that the Balaam or Mafish Trumot Masrot, they did it before you sold it out. Because there will be sufficient time until it deteriorates, then we assume the Balaam had plenty of time to be Mafish Trumot Masrot. They're not going to wait forever to do it. We assume that within the early period that they would do it. After an excessive period of time, it's unlikely that they would use it for Trumot Masrot, because then questions would arise about what's the status of these fruits and vegetables, because that's in general you have to check. You can't, if you have barrels of wine, you're not allowed to be mafrish from wine that's gone bad and wine that's good. So if you leave, over a period of time, you leave barrels around and you're not sure, you have to check that the barrels are good wine. So over a long period of time, the balim would not be mafrish trumot to masrot. So we assume there's been enough period of time in which they could be mafrish the trumot to masrot. If that's the case, when you sell it, go sell it out to the Kohen. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, heavy deterioration, excessive deterioration is something that happens every day. I mean, that it's commonplace. If it's commonplace, it will happen very quickly. I mean, that right away, the Balim will be aware of the fact that it's the Shomer will be aware of the fact that it's, right, it's being deteriorated, and he will sell it out. That means that he's selling it out very early in the process. If he's selling it out very early in the process, the Balim will not be aware of it, or they will not have had sufficient time to be mafish if they wanted to, Trumot to Masrot. And then once you've sold it out, they're going to go try to be mafish Trumot to Masrot, and it won't exist anymore. The produce won't exist. So therefore, this solution is really not available to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because
he wants to sell it. He's the one that said in the beginning, Chashin Hashem Ha'asana Mefkeh Trumah Ma'asana Mekom Acher. So he is choshesh that so even if it's a short period, it gets ruined very quickly, he is choshesh that you would use it for Trumah Ma'asana. You always say, for also according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, to sell it to Kohanim. Because also he has a certain chashash. You could say, okay, it's not...
No, but he doesn't let you sell it at all. Period. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says you can't sell it. And the Gemara wants to know, why not? Why not do the same solution and sell it to Kohanim because of his chashash? His chashash is that it is Trumah Ma'asana. So sell it to Kohanim. His problem is that the sale will take place too early. And the sale takes place too early, then you haven't mitigated the part of the problem that Rav Nachman Yitzchak had. So a person puts peirot by his friend, and they've rotted. They've gone bad. Yain v'chmitz, you have wine that's turned into vinegar. Shemen v'yivish, right? Oil that's gone rancid. Dvash v'yidvish, right? And I don't know exactly how it happens to honey, but honey hardens. I don't know what else. V'yidvish is some sort of rotting. something that's gone bad. Harizeh lo yiga behen. Don't touch them. Tiber Rabbi Meir. Chamim amrim oseh lehem takana u'machran bebeit din. You fix them, and then you sell them in Beis Din. So what this takana is, we'll get to later in the Gemara.
Okay, but what is
the Gemara we'll get to. We haven't addressed that yet. Okay. Shu mochran, when he does sell them, mochran achirim. He has to sell them to a third party. Veinu mochran le'atzmo. And he may not sell them to himself. He may not self-deal over here. Right? Ki yotzebo, we had a Tosfos earlier. If you remember, we had Tosfos who discussed this earlier in the Gemara. Whether when you sell it, when the Gemara makes this determination, you must sell to a third party and not to yourself, is that only when you're doing it yourself or even in front of Beis Din? Those who tried to say that it was in front of Beis Din, you could even sell it to yourself because then you have a third party overlooking the sale. Tosfos in the end concluded that even in cases of where Beis Din is mafkia, is looking over the sale, that still you can't do it to yourself. That means that there's such a suspicion and such a, it looks bad, period.
Suspicion.
Right, so you don't want to, we want to make sure that it's, meaning you're right, that you're above any suspicion over here.
That's pretty explicit
over here. Right, well it sounds like it here. Gabay tzedaka, someone is the gabay tzedaka, b'zman she'en lehem aniyim lechaleik, when there are no aniyim to give it out. So in general, when they're giving out small coins. Small coins in their day were copper-based coins, and the copper used to rot or deteriorate. And because of that people wanted to change the copper into silver coins if they were not going to use them immediately. So the gabay tzedaka has to be mefaret. He wants to take the coins and exchange them in for silver coins. When he does that trade or that exchange, portin la'achirim and portin la'atzman. He must do that exchange through a third party and not to himself. He can't exchange it to himself. Gabay tamchui. Remember the gabay tamchui, this is like the food plate. And then they go around, and this is for the immediate need of the aniyim, right? Food that's collected from the balabatim and given out to the aniyim. If they don't have sufficient aniyim to give out the food, again, you sell the food to a third party, you may not sell it to yourself. Right? So over here we have a case. What the case is, they write it. My love. What is it? Here there's no rate of deterioration that's given. Just says, perot v'yarkivu. My love, I feel yet to midei chesronan, that even at an excessive rate, here it doesn't make any determination about the rate. Lo, bichtei chesronan. Says, no, it's a normal pace of deterioration. Where it says, v'ha yayin v'chmitz, shemen v'yivish, devash v'yivish, t'yetem v'chtei chesronan inhu. That is not necessarily normal. For wine to turn into vinegar, oil to go rancid, you know, devash, honey to be inedible. All these types of deterioration are excessive. And if they're excessive, then we must be, the Breton Bais is talking about, a case of excessive deterioration. That'll be a problem for Rabbi Bar Chana. I'm Rabbi Yochanan who says, everybody says, when it's Biyoter Mekdei Chasronan, that you sell it. Here we have Rabbi Meir saying, no, don't sell it even when it's an excessive pace. When it says, shiny honey, these are different. Came into kam, that once they reach a certain state, they stay stable. In that,
shiny honey.
Right, so these three items are different. Came into kam, right, so that once they are already reached that point of deterioration, meaning that once they've reached the point where wine is turned into vinegar, then they remain stable at that rate. They don't deteriorate further at any excessive rate. Meaning, even if they do deteriorate, right, they don't reach this excessive rate because they're just not the types of produce that have excessive deterioration. So even when they do deteriorate, they only deteriorate, they might have happened fast and it deteriorated, but once it reaches that point of deterioration, it stays stable. It does not continue to deteriorate.
Even if it's more than chesronah, at that point you don't gain anything except right now I'm waiting because it's the same price, we're 10 years from now.
Very good, right. So the difference, you can separate when you have fruits, you can divide up the fruits that have rotted from the fruits that are still good, maybe, right, or if it's at a higher pace. But over here, obviously, if the whole thing's vinegar, vinegar is vinegar, you can't slice the vinegar in half, right? I mean, that doesn't help you, that's good. All right, so now, shemen vivish, dvash vivish, lamai chazu. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with rotten and rancid oil and rotten honey? So shemen chazi the galdai, right? So that the oil can be used by a leather worker, right? With a to soften the leather, he's going to put the oil in. Dvash Lektisha the gamle. There's only mentioned in the Gemara and Shabbos also that honey is used as a cure or a medicinal cream for wounds on the back of the gamal. So it helps the gamal. So now David wants to know, why they can't David Luhu? What are they going to do? How are you going to fix something that's rotten over here? How are you going to make it any better? So Zamaravashi the Kankanim, to switch it out of its container. Meaning that there's the causation, right? It could get worse. Meaning that the container in which it's being stored has impact on how fast or the possibility that it's turning into vinegar over here or that it's deteriorating. So if you change it out and you put it into a new barrel or into a new container, might prevent.
Or you can say like what Rashi says over here.
I'm Ravashi the Kankanim, to remove from the Kankanim to save the Kankanim, so fine that you can get rid of the produce and you can sell that off, but you don't want, if you let it sit in the Kankanim, they'll also lose the Kankanim.
Although the other one you said is a valid point. Like if I was thinking that at the beginning of the case, is the owner has it in his own Kalin, or is it the showman's Kalin, which is, if it's the showman's Kalin, if it's Kalin that are not preserving it well, then you think that
you should switch it over.
Yeah, switch it to.
Okay, so my mind can make the gate. What are they arguing about? The master of the Hefsid Chashashu, the Hefsid Mulad Chashashu. So the Machozer Meir and the Chachamim is about, do we worry about the Chesed Muad? Meaning that there's Hefsid Ruba that they're worried about. Hefsid Muad Chashashu. Master of the Hefsid Muad, Nami Chashashu. It aimed for small losses that the Chachamim were concerned, and therefore to protect his Kankanim, in order to take care of the Kankanim, we say it's worthwhile, right, to make the effort to change out the Kankanim in order to save his barrels or to make them useful afterwards. All right, now, again, you could say the same thing about changing it out if it stops the deterioration somewhat. So the main problem has happened already. It's turned into vinegar. The main, it's rotted, the oil. To stop it a little more, to change out the Kalim, right, that also, to slow the pace, is it worth that Hefsed Muat? I mean, that's a small amount of loss versus a large loss which has already taken place. All right, Rav Shimon Meir, Yimachrein v'beitim, v'nei shuk meshiva v'edal v'alim. Itmar. Rabbi Abi v'Rabbi Yochum v'amar Rabbi Yochum, alochok Rav Shimon Gamliel. Alochok is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Rav v'amar Rav Nachman, alochok k'divrei chachamim. Alochok is like the divrei chachamim, right? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan chad azimno. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan already say this, make such a statement that what? Anytime Rav Shimon Gamliel appears in a Mishnah, Alocha Kamoto, Alocha is like him, Chutz, Merej, Sidan, Viraya, Achrona. So three cases, three Mishnayot, where he appears, the Alocha is not like him. This isn't one of those exceptions. So the Alocha should be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why do you have to make a separate statement over here that the Alocha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel if it's under the general principle that the Alocha is always like Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah? Where it says, Amarai Ninu, Valibad Rabbi Yochanan. Right, it's two Amaraim that had a different Misorah from Rabbi Yochanan. One Amura, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yaakov says that he didn't have that general principle of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore he had to say the Loch is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in this instance. On the other hand, Rabbi Barchana had a Misorah from Rabbi Yochanan, then in this instance, you don't need to say it specifically because that's a general principle that the Loch is always like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when he's found in the Mishnah, except for these three cases. So now Gemara says, "Mid Rav Shimon Gamliel Nishma to Moridin Karov the Nichsei Shavui." Right from Rav Shimon Gamliel, let's conclude about a different question that we have. The different question is that if someone's in captivity, right, and now his property is laying fallow, there's nothing being done with his property. So in the interim, what does Beis Din Matir, what does Beis Din allow to happen to his property? Meaning that his property is going to lay fallow. There's a distinct possibility he's not coming back or that he's dead. Right, so now, do we allow the closest relative of this individual to go and work the field? Why? Because we monafshach. If he doesn't come back, then it becomes his. If he does come back, we can just charge him, and mean that it will benefit the person that's in captivity, and we'll allow the person who worked it to keep a certain amount of the value that he created in working the field. So now, be Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Nishma, from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that we allow the shomer to go ahead and sell out the property of the person, the person who was mafkid the property with him. If we do allow that to happen, then we should also allow a karov to go down to the property of the individuals in Shavuot who's in captivity. Why? Because you're saving the balim. You're helping out. It's like meshiva veda to the balim. Right? So,
I compare the same with land's not going to spoil. Land by scholar won't produce, but won't.
Oh, okay, very good.
That can get better, right?
Very good, excellent. So that the Gemara was trying to make that distinction in a second.
Crop rotation, right?
Right. That the Gemara is going to complain about it in a second, also about crop rotation. Also, either Rabbanan Nishma, so for the Rabbanan, we should also say the Emor, the Karob, Nixay Shaboy. So the Rabbanan say let the fruit deteriorate, they'll say let the field they fallow. Whom we mind? Dilma, Adkan, Mokamar, Vishimagam, Neohacha, El Mishum, the Kakal, your Karnel. Exactly what you're suggesting, right? That the problem with the fruits is that the principles are going to be gone. I mean, the fruits won't exist if you don't take care of them. Avahotom, right? Achanami de Mordin, right? But maybe you don't go down because, like you said, the land's not going to change. The land will always be there afterwards. It's a difference between being marviach, profit, versus loss. I mean, that by the fruits, there's a loss involved here. By the land, we're just talking about its profits that he could have had, lost profits. Right now, also, there are other mitigating factors which won't let you sell the fruits.
True.
Either it's because, right, Chumamasa, or because a person wants his own produce. But by land, you don't have those mitigating factors. Maybe we should let him do. Smar says, the memory, the trade time, and you know. So what you're suggesting is that these are two independent issues. So, Vamar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Halacha K'Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel is also of the opinion, Moridin Karov, Nixay Shavoy. Right, so that Shmuel, who says, Halacha K'Rav Shimon Gamliel, is also the author of an opinion that says you're allowed to be Morid, Nixay Shavoy. La'av, Mishum Techad Taimahu. Isn't it because they're under a single umbrella, they're one reason? Right, says, well, trade time and Yehuda. Right, they're two different issues. I mean, they don't always have, they don't have to be one issue, they could be two issues. Achanami Mistabro, that makes a lot of sense. Damar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Alocha to Divrei Chachamim. Because we have Rav Amar Rav Nachman over here, who passed him like the Chachamim out of our Mishnah. Rav Amar Nachman, Meridin Karov, and Nechsei Shavoy. And he's also of the opinion, like Shmuel, that you're allowed to be Morid. So it must be that there are two opinions. Elo Shmamina, trade time and Inu Shmamina, that they're independent issues. There's the issue of our Mishnah, there's the issue of being Morid, Karov, Lid. Right, the Nixay Shavuot, that's a totally different issue. All right, once we're on that, let's discuss it. Itmar, Shavuot Shenishba. Right, this is a captive, a person that's in captivity. Rav Amar Imodrin Oin Maridin Karov Nechasav. We don't allow others, the closest relative, to go down and work the land or work his property. Shmuel Amar Maridin Karov Nechasav, as we just saw above. Shmuel says clearly that we are Morid him down. We allow the closest relative to go work the field. Bisha Shamo Bo Shemait. If we hear that the captive died, meaning that obviously this is not with two Edim, that we heard that the captive died is with a, you know, rumor in 1-8, something that's not definitive in terms of Epsak Halacha, then Kuliyama Lo Pligi De Moridin. Then we do let him go down, because now the overwhelming circumstantial evidence is that this person is not coming back. So in that instance, right, it makes sense to allow the person to go work the field. The only machlokas is when we don't know, we have no information, we don't know if they're dead or alive. Do we allow them to go down? Rabba Marian Modim Dilma Mafsilu. Why don't we want them to go down? Maybe he will cause the property, loss of the property. So that's what you were suggesting before. So we fired that the crop rotation. He won't rotate the crops, he'll just keep planting the field. He won't take care of the karka. Right? So that's it. Ushmola Mar Modin. Kevin Damar Mar, because we have a principle, Shamina Lahu Kiaris. Right? Because in the end, if the Balim do show up, what is your take on the field? You get paid out, like an Aris, which is a sharecropper. You get a percentage of the output of the field. So, Lo Mafsalihu, then you have a vested interest in ensuring that the property produces at the highest rate. Because your payout is going to be a percentage of the payout. You have, as we call it, skin in the game. So you have skin in the game, he's not going to deteriorate the property, because then his percentage will, over time, drop.
You just put more and more. They get the most you can out of the first, you know, year, two, three, and then it ruins the land.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how long the guy's going to be gone. And if he's in our region,
he has
a vested interest in ensuring that the property over time.
What if he says that he might be your ship before that, like 2 years from that point?
Right, that's the other mitigating factor, right, that he might be. But it's a mate to vey. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mimashma Shinamar, because the Pasuk says, Vichkarapi, right, this is that I'll get angry at you, Varabdi Etchem, and I will kill you. So, if I get upset with you for what you do, then I will kill you. Now, if Hashem eliminates an individual, then it's clear that his wife is an almana, and that his children are yitomim. Yet the pasuk states explicitly, after Hashem gets mad at you and kills you, it says, Yodeani shenashotekem almanot ubneihem yitomim. Elamatam alomar. So why does the pasuk explicitly say, after the fact that Hashem has right, eliminated this individual, that I will make your wives into widows and your children into yitomim? Well, mate, That what's the case when I say that I'm going to get rid of you? I'm getting rid of you in a way that it's not going to be obvious to those that are left behind that you've been killed. That we won't have information about these individuals. And therefore, your wife will be an aguna. And the children want to go and be yoresh their father's property, and we don't let them go. So now, if that's the case, right, that's a strong proof to Rav's position that we don't allow, you told me, we don't allow the Yorshim to go down to the property before, right, we have evidence of the fact that the individual has passed away. So, because otherwise, how do you explain this, right, or this explanation of the Pasuk does not work according to Shmuel, because we do let you go down according to Shmuel. So, Amarava, Leireid Lim Kortznan. What I mean, Leireid means, no, not literally to go down and work it, but to go to take ownership, full control of the property, that they can sell it. Meaning that we will not permit the Yitomim to sell this property because of the unknown factor of their father. True, they can go work it, but the other factor, which is they can't, they don't have balus over the field. And that's what we're talking about here. Havu'ubda b'narda, there was a case in Narda, u'pashta Rav Sheshit Me'amas Nisim. Rav Sheshit passed an halacha based on this explanation, this pasuk that we just determined over here. And he said, don't let them go down. Don't let the Yitomim go down to the field of their father. Amalei Rav Amram, Dilma Ro'id V'lim Kortzman. He says, maybe it means to go down and sell it. I mean, we just saw that alternative explanation, according to Shmuel, that's the alternative explanation of that brisa, of that explanation of the pasuk. So why not say that? Why are you paskening based on the understanding that the rate means literally go down at all, versus go down and sell it? So Amalei, Dilma, Bupumpeditat. Maybe you're from Pumpedita. The Mylin Pila, Bukupa de Machto. In Pumpedita, they managed to, I don't know, either put an elephant into the eye of the needle, or to thread the needle with an elephant. One of those two expressions, whatever it is that they squeeze the elephant in. I mean, that they come up with these difficult explanations of what is a simple brisa, right? Baha, dumiya de nishotechem. That don't you want to be in the brisa that explains the pasuk? Don't you want it to be parallel? Meaning that you have the women and you have the children. The women who are agunot are unable to marry forever. Meaning that there's nothing. So now, if you say that, ubneim tani mahatam klal lo. When it talks about the women, we don't say they can partially get married, right? It means they can't get married at all. So too avach and ami klal lo. When we're talking about the children, we're talking about similar to the wives, that the children are unable to go down to the field, that they aren't able to enter the field at all. Right now, umuridin karov lenifse shavui tanahi. This machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is actually a machlokes tanaim. Right, the Tanya, we have a price. So you're right, Nifsei Shavui and Mitzinoto. Person who goes down to the Nifsei Mavish Shavui, we don't take him out. We don't stop him from going down there. Hello, Elo Afil Shishamash Mimash Mashim Uvain Bekadam. Right, Betalash Vachalar is Zariz Veniskar. Even if the individual, the Oresh, who went down and worked the field, hears that the captive has been freed, and they get news that the captive, they freed the captive, and he's on his way home. If he runs down to the field, eats as much as he can in that time period, he benefited, that's it. He managed to do it before the guy came back, that's fine. What is classified as a Nifsei Shavuyin? Reisha Aviv, or Achiv, or Achad Min HaMurushim, one of the people that he would inherit from, they went overseas, Vishavu Behen Shemet, and we heard that they died. Now, are you ready to Nifsei Nitushin? If he goes down to Nifsei Nitushin, Motzino Tomiyado, we remove him from that property. What is Nitushim? Ve'elohen Nifsei Nitushin. What does Nitushin mean? Property that's been pulled out. What does that mean? Harishaya Viv or Achav or Chad Min HaMurushin or Chulehen Medinat Hayam. These are individuals who went overseas, people that would be Morish, that would he would inherit, right, that they would give over Yerusha to him, that he would inherit. V'lo Shamu Behen Shemet. And they don't hear that they are dead. So again, when we hear that they're dead, it sounds like everybody agrees. I know that the name agreed that you're allowed to go down, and that's what we had before, right? When we qualified the state, the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, we said if we heard that they mate, everybody agrees to go down. Now the second case in this brace is the case where we didn't hear they were mate. We know they haven't come back. They seem to be in captivity, but we haven't heard that they're dead. In that case, the Tanna Kamma of this brace says, don't let them go down. That Nitushim have the same din as Shvuyin. What does that mean? That even if we don't hear that they're dead, we say that they have the same din as Shavuy, which is what we heard they were dead, which is the position of Shmuel. So the Tanna Kamma is like Rav, and Rav Shimon Gamliel is like Shmuel. Now, Hayored, the next day, Ritushim, then we have a third category of property, which is Ritushim, Motzino Tomiyado. Then we remove them according to everybody, even according to Rishim Galeo, Ve'elehe Nefse Ritushim. What are Nefse Ritushim? Harei She'aviv, O'echav, O'echad min amorishin, Kan. They're here. They didn't go overseas. They're here. Ve'en Yudeh Le'echad Al-Khu. We don't know where they went. Meaning that they disappeared. It's not, they weren't planning a trip. They didn't expect them to disappear. But all of a sudden, we can't find them. They've been gone for a year, they've gone for 6 months. We have no idea what they disappeared to, they haven't planned a trip, they haven't gone to Minat Dayam, we have no idea where they are. Maishna Hanach the Karluhu Nitushim. Maishna Hani the Karluhu Ritushim. What's the difference between Nitushim and Ritushim? I mean, what are these terms? Right? These are, the Gemara here is using them as nouns to describe certain types of property, but obviously they're Loshon Lushal, they're borrowed terms from somewhere else. So what does Natush mean versus Ratush? Gemara says Nitushim. The bala of al korcho. Nitushim means to be ripped out, to be pulled out against your will. Because what's the case of being pulled out against your will? That is in the first case where he's overseas and he's been taken into shevi, he's been taken captivity. He's being held back from returning to his home. So he's being prevented from turning home against his will. It's not a choice that he's making, but rather it's being imposed upon him. So that's the case of nitushim, dichtiv. What's the proof to that? Vashvit tishmatena v'natashta. Right, that the shvit will remove it. What does it mean that it will remove it? Afkata d'malko. That is, a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes it out of your hands. I mean, here it's talking about the case of, possibly, shmitat kesafim. Right, talking about shmitat kesafim. Right, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu prevents the shmitat kesafim from going through. Meaning that if there's a loan there, Hashem says, afkata d'malko, the loan's forgiven. Or the possibility of explaining the second half of the Shemitah Nakarko, that Hashem says that the land goes valid. We'll explain it in a second now. Next, Ritushim. What does Ritushim mean? Demidatan. That they did it willingly. That they made a decision, they made an active decision to walk away or to leave that which is behind. I mean that the Balim know about it and they went. And if they know about it and they went willingly, and they didn't give instructions for someone to take care of the property, it's clear that they don't want somebody to go into the property. Because had they, if they were doing it willingly, and they knew they were leaving, then they should have instructed someone to take care of the property. The fact that they didn't is indicative of the fact that they don't want someone to go down there. How do we know that? That's from the Pasuk in Hosea. To be honest to you, that the Pasuk in Hosea, is not like the Gemara is explaining here over here. That's why there's this massive Rashi that explains the Pasuk, but it says, Eim al-Banim Rutasha, that the mother and the children were torn asunder. Right, that was the, in the Pasuk in Hosea, it sounds like there's a battle. Someone comes and conquers, and they tore the children and the mothers asunder, I mean it was against their will. Rashi goes through an explanation of the Pasuk to indicate that the reason that they're being torn asunder, they're running away, is because of the fear of an attack. It's not like the Pasuk in Hosea that it's an attack, or really being attacked, and that's why they're torn asunder, but rather they have a fear of an attack that's going to be come, and because of that fear, they leave the cities, and they run away, and they leave their properties, and they give up their stuff. So they're leaving willingly because of a fear of an attack. So that's why the Gemara is using here, Rutasha means to leave willingly. Right now, two final items here just to discuss. One is Kosel over here discusses why, if it's a Machlokas Tanaim, why didn't Rav and Shmuel just say Alocha Ketana Kama and Alocha Karim Shimon Gamliel? Or why are Amoraim arguing about a Machlokas Tanaim? So those gives two answers. One is either they didn't know the Braisa. There's a possibility that this Braisa was not well known here. Again, because one of the reasons above, remember we asked, if Shmuel paskins the Alocha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, and he says that you're raised the Nichsei Shavui, right? Therefore, maybe it's one time. The Gemara could have just said, what about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah says, you're allowed to sell the fruits. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Braisa says, you're raised the Nichsei, right? That you're allowed to take the, you're raised, you're allowed to go to the Nichsei Shavui. So why are they asking from Shmuel that it's one time? Ask from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself, who says that it's the same thing. So it's clear that the Gemara was not aware, the Amoraim weren't so aware of this Braisa. Otherwise, they could have asked the question earlier, and Rav and Shmuel should have been aware, would have said something like that. That's one possibility. Or Tosus brings the famous answer of the Gemara in some places, which is the Mapre Lechu. The Braisa wasn't clear. That sometimes the opinions in the Braisa were not clear, and therefore, if you said Alach Rav Shimon Gamliel, we wouldn't know if he was what the Tanakam says or what Rav Shimon Gamliel says. So that's why Rav and Shmuel didn't address or deal with the Braisa. The second thing to deal with here is Afkata de Malko.
The source for the Gemara about how we know there's Afkat to the Malkin Shvit is from the Pasuk Vashvi'it Tishmetena Unatashta. It's a Pasuk found in Mishpatim, Perchav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And it's actually a Pasuk that's subject to a Machloket HaRishonim about what the actual Pasuk means. The Ramban, who rejects Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, suggests the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk is Vashvi'it Tishmetena, that may one may not work the land, plant the land, work the land. And Natashta means that one may not harvest the land or bring in the fruits or the produce of the land. Because the Pasuk that immediately precedes it says, Sheshanim Tizrat Zatzecha, for the first 6 years you're allowed to plant the land, and harvest the land and bring in the fruits for yourself. And then the next pasuk continues, Vashvit, in the seventh year, Tishmetenu, Kneged, the 6 years that you're allowed to plant, Tishmetenu, here you're not allowed to plant or work the land. And Unatashta goes against the, or is as opposed to, Vyasafte Tzvurata, in the previous pasuk, where you're allowed to harvest it and keep the produce for yourself. So over here in Natashta, you have to leave it alone. You may not harvest the land because the poor, everybody will be joint owners of the produce in this year. The Rashi, in his second interpretation, actually says that Vashvit Tishmetenu Unitashta is actually referring to both Avodat HaKarka. They're different types of Avodat HaKarka, but everything there is talking about working the land and nothing to do with harvesting. The Ibn Ezra actually says Vashvit Tishmetenu Unitashta actually refers to two different types of Shmitot that take place in the Shvit. One is Shmitat HaKarka, and the other one is Shmitat HaKsafim. So the Ibn Ezra and the Sforno, both over here, suggest that the Tishmetenu is actually referring to Shmitat HaKsafim. So according to the Ibn Ezra, who says that Shmitah here, or the Tishmetenu Tashta, is referring to Shmitat HaKsafim, then how do we explain the term Afkata Demalko?
All loans are forgiven when it comes to the Shvit. And that's why we have a Prusbol, to prevent the forgiveness of the loans. There's a general Chakira in forgiveness of loans of Shvit, is why are they forgiven? And so it's a machlokas the Mordechai. The Gemara is actually in Gittin, and machlokas the Mordechai in Yireim. The Mordechai, the Malkov, is that the loans are forgiven because a Kodesh Baruch Hu says that the loans are forgiven. It's over. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes out the loans and says, no more. That's it. They're gone. The other possibility, right, the Yireim says, the other possibility is no. The loans are not forgiven, but rather, you must forgive the loan. The tzibui, the mitzvah in the Torah, is that you forgive the loan, and the loan is only forgiven if you do forgive the loan. And if you don't forgive it, basically will force you to keep the mitzvah and forgive the loan. But until you have forgiven the actual loan, it's not classified as forgiven. So that's the two possibilities there between the Merchah and the Reim. The two possibilities, one is that if Galta and Malkot, that the loans are forgiven because Hashem says they're gone. Or the other possibility is that you have to actually forgive them. Now here is one of would be a distinct proof in favor of the Mandamai, that the forgiveness of loans is Afkata Demalko. Because Maria clearly says that that's the reason, right, that the loans are forgiven here is because Afkata Demalko, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that they're gone. Now, there always happens to be, and it's not really just here, but Shvit Tishmatenu and the Tashto, right, whether that is referring to Shvit itself, or is it referring to forgiveness of loans? Tishmatenu Unitashta, right? So, Shvit Tishmatenu, but then what's Unitashta as well, right?
Until now, we've explained, according to the Ibn Ezra, that it's referring to, it's referring to loans, and that's why it's a problem for the Urayim. But on the other hand, if we explain it like Rashi, or the second interpretation in Rashi, al-Chumash, then the Shvit Tishmetenu Natasha is actually referring to Avodat HaKarka itself.
About Shvit HaKarka, it is a little harder to say Afkata Demalko. Although you could argue, again, you could argue, that is how it works. Shvit, how does Shvit work, right? What's the demand in Shvit? There are two possibilities of why the land, working the land, is asur. Is it asur for the person to work the land on Shvit? Or what? Or is it that the land itself, right, is asur to work? I mean, that's which is, how do you formulate it? If you say it's on the obligations on the individual not to work the land, right, then it's harder just to see this as being Afkata Demalko. And then if you say that the land itself is asur to be worked, right, and then you can say Afkata Demalko, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is mafkir, right, the land, and because it's the land, you're asur to touch the land, and then Hashem.
That would be according to Rashi's interpretation that the Rashi Tishmetenu Tashta is solely referring to Avodat HaKarka. On the other hand, the Ramban, who's the easiest way to understand it here, that the Ramban says that Unitashta, that the Pasuk is referring to the fact that the produce of the land, the harvest of the land, does not belong to you, then the explanation over here would be,
it says, Hashem is mafkir the land, and then they have Yonei Amecha, right, that they can come and eat the fruits. So Afkata Demalko here can refer to what? The actual produce of the land itself in the Shemitah, and that produce is Avkata D'Malka, that Hashem says, you know, the fruit is all free and clear. Not that the Balim have to be maskir the fruits and say that I'm not going to work the land and everything is free and clear for everybody, but rather,
you're not Balim.
Right, you're not the Balim anymore. The land is refused by everybody, and it's Avkata D'Malka, Hashem is maskir everything there, and you can eat the produce of the land. Okay?